भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायण नमस्कृत्यारोचनं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरजत् मुखा करोति वाचालं अङ्गुलं गायते गिरिं यत्कीर्तार्थमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुनिधायनं परमानुभावं श्रीचैतन्य ईश्वरं जय श्री चैतन्य श्री गौरनिताय की श्री रुक्मिणी द्वारकाधीश की श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्र की सर्वभाद की इत्यादि गौर फिल्मी हरि हरि रो रीड वर्स
Hare Krishna. Well, okay, this is the fifth canto, chapter 13, text number 25. Sovirapati Sujana Okay. So vira patir api sujana samavagata paramatma satatva atmani avidya daryo pitam cha dehatma matim visasara jevam hi nripa bhagavada shrita shritanu bhavaha. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. After receiving lessons from the great devotee Jada Bharat, King Rahugana of the state of Sovira became completely aware of the constitutional position of the soul. He thus gave up the bodily conception completely. My dear King, whoever takes shelter of the servant of the servant of the Lord is certainly glorified because he can, without difficulty, give up the bodily conception. Purport. As stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 22, verse 54, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Sastre Kaya, Lava Matra Sadhu Sanghe, Sarva Siddhi Haya. It is a fact that if one takes shelter of a pure devotee, one attains all perfection, even if the association is a short one. A sadhu is a pure devotee of the Lord. It has been our practical experience that the first instruction of our spiritual master infused us with Krishna consciousness, so that now we are at least on the path of Krishna consciousness and can understand the philosophy. As a result, there are many devotees engaged in this Krishna consciousness movement. The whole world is revolving under the bodily conception. Therefore, there must be devotees all over the world to deliver people from the false bodily conception and fully engage them in Krishna consciousness.
Our translation again.
Translation again. After receiving lessons from the great devotee Jada Bharat, King Rahugana of the state of Sovira became completely aware of the constitutional position of the soul. He thus gave up the bodily conception completely. My dear King, whoever takes shelter of the servant of the Lord is certainly glorified, because he can, without difficulty, give up the bodily conception.
Om Tat Sat. Hare Krishna. Can you hear me? It's okay. So, today is the 31st of December, the last day in the year of the most of the Western world. On this day, we heard a very nice verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, that by hearing the servant, even the servant of the servant of the Supreme Lord, we will get freed from the bodily conception of life. So this is a great mercy that the King Arahugana got. If you remember that the King Arahugana, he started off taking a jar of lard as a bear on his palanquin, because one of his bears had injured his foot, but Ajaravart, he was trying to avoid all of the ants, so he also walked irregularly. So then the king started to blast him, "You fool, you fat idiot, you know, gave him the sauce, so to speak. So he gave some very critical terms. But Ajaravart, he replied in a very philosophical way. "I am not fat, I am not skinny, I am not the body, I am the spirit soul. I am not an idiot, I am not smart, I am not the mind, I am the spirit soul." So like this he was replying. And then immediately King Arahugana, who as a king was, he was able to distinguish that this person was not an ordinary person, that he was a very learned person. So he got down and he fell down, "Please forgive me. Tell me, who are you? You're not speaking like a bear. You're speaking like a very pundit, like someone who's learned." Of course, I don't know, actually, Rahugana figured out who Jaragart was. That he's actually the Bharat Maharaj, who was the emperor of the entire world, who gave up his position as emperor to engage in meditation. But because of his attachment to a deer baby, he took birth as a deer. And then his third birth, he was determined not to be misled. So he was acting as if he was deaf and dumb. although he had full faculties. And so he was used to scare away the crows and the sparrows by digging on something to keep them away. So actually, many things happened to Jaroslav. As a scarecrow, he's standing, and he was taken away by thieves. Actually, the Russian devotees, they, on our last, not only Russian, but primarily Russian, they performed a drama of Jaroslav, and they had the scene where he was taken captive by the dacoits and taken to the temple of Bhadrakali, where he was to be offered as a human sacrifice. But actually, Bhadrakali is a devotee of Krishna, and she knew that Jaroslav was a great devotee of Krishna. So it they dramatically showed how Bhadrakali came to life with all of her shaktis, and they chopped the heads off the decoys and tossed heads around and danced pretty wildly. It was quite a scene. And they had the lady who was dancing with Bhadrakali. She knew a little Bharatanatyam, so she waved her hands in a very artistic way. There was leading, pounding music. At the end of the scene, there was Jaroslav, the Shaktis, and Bhadrakali, and all the decorators were dead, lying down. So, it's interesting. So, the people, they like action scenes, so. This Jaroslav, his parents apparently didn't know that he was sick and that he, who he was. They thought he was sick. They didn't know all these things happened to him. So while he's sitting there guarding the field, he was co-opted by this King Ahuja. So after the king realized that he's not ordinary soul, he wants to hear from him. So the Jaroslav instructed him in the science of self-realization. So in this way, King Ahuja became freed from his bodily conception of life. It's a quite interesting, actually. It's kind of a arrangement of Krishna that we have this verse on the 30th verse of December. In our, of course, in India, different states have different New Year's days. Some observe this as a New Year's Day. Some observe the Makara Sankranti as a Pongal, and they have the a Pongal day. Some observe the Poila of Vaishakh, the first day of Vaishakh, in which the second to the last day is the Narasingha Chaturdasi. And there's a lot of holy days. That Vaishakh month is considered a sacred month. So I usually go to Chennai for the Rath Yatra. They hold it on the day of the Makara Sankranti, which is known as Pongal. And today, which, if we take it as the tomorrow is New Year's, and that Pongal is New Year's, and today is Bogi, means the last day of the year. So everybody takes out some old cloths and old mats and old... Yes, in Chennai, right? You know this. Who's here from Tamil Nadu? Anyone? So they learn some grass and mats and old cloth. They learn some. The year is gone. We learn it. So tomorrow is a new day, a new year. We're going to eat pongal. Pongal, they have two kinds of pongal. One is salty and one is sweet. So actually, it's a favorite thing because every year I go, I get pongal. For me, it's a favorite. It's a kind of a khichdi without turmeric, and they use black pepper and ghee. So it's, and that's for the salty one. And the sweet one, they use jaggery and rice and dal. It's like a sweet khichdi. I don't know tomorrow what they're going to make. But that tradition is held on the Pongal, which is like 14th of January. But in America, this is the Pongal. This is the tomorrow is like the Pongal day, the 1st of January. And today is like Logi. So today, just like Rahugana, he left behind his bodily conception. That would be the best thing to leave behind. Leave behind our mayas, our contamination, our bodily conception. Actually, in the Skanda Purana, it states that we should chant the name Ha and Ri. Can you chant that? Ha, Ri, Ha, Ri. Hari, 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 Hari. Hari. And by chanting that, Krishna steals from you. Some of you look worried. He steals away all your misfortune, your contamination, your dirty things in your mind. Is that all right? Yeah, so don't worry. He doesn't steal the stuff you need. He steals away all the garbage. So, Hari! 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 So this is the day we can chant Hari Bol. And so, like everybody in Tamil Nadu, in most of the places, the day before the New Year's Day, they think that today I should, they purify myself, tomorrow's the New Year's Day, I should prepare my mind. I was thinking that in America, mostly people get drunk. They celebrate the New Year's coming by being in a lot of ignorance. It's unfortunate. But I don't think that's a tradition. But that's become the tradition now. The in many places, they stay up until midnight and they watch the countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 2, 1. It's the new year. And everybody hugs each other, et cetera, et cetera. So, I was, we go on the, usually I was used to, for the past few years, I was in, Australia at that time, and the past couple of years before my sickness, I would go to Sydney. So in Sydney, they have a very big fireworks in the harbor. So they have two fireworks. One at 9, which is a small one for the kiddies, and one at midnight, which is a big one for everybody else. So we do high down through all the crowds of people and watch the 9 o'clock fireworks, and then we go back. Because after that, it gets too wild. All the Aussies get completely intoxicated, wild. Before that, on the New Year's Eve, we used to go to Dairon Day. We would have the Rath Yatra. And Dairon Day is like an alternative place. They don't have that Rath Yatra anymore, but they used to have. And they have laws that no McDonald's, no like big chains are allowed in the city, and no drinking on the streets. So, of course, people manage to put their liquids in other containers, but officially there was no liquid, no drinking. So they had to go into the taverns, get intoxicated, and come out. They still managed to get intoxicated, but at least there was no public drinking allowed. So they are having a riot in the street before the Rath Yatra. So they asked us to do the Rath Yatra. And when we did the Rath Yatra there, it was somehow, it was like putting the carbon rod in the nuclear reactor. It calmed the people down, and they had no more riots as long as we were doing Rath Yatra. I don't know now, but so Prabhupada Vishnu Swami and Ramaya Swami and many of some other Swamis and myself, we take turns leading. And you know, we had to be surrounded by some Brahmacharis because the local ladies, they wanted to like embrace. So they didn't know it was not our custom as a sannyasi to be embraced by women. So, but they had come and they told the Rath and the Jagannath, they had lit by strobe lights. It was kind of psychedelic Jagannath, I don't know. Old Jagannath didn't take any offense, but they had red light, blue light, and strobe lights. And so, but there was Lord Chaitanya, a very big Lord Chaitanya, maybe 25, 30 feet. This I haven't seen anywhere else. They have here in the Rath Yatra? A big Lord Chaitanya? This is unique. But here you have three rods, there they had only one rod. So, one lady, she came up. And so many people were dancing in the streets, and they really like there was nothing else to do than me, but they very much enjoyed the Rath Yatra and the kirtan. And one lady said, thank you very much. If it wasn't for you, I would just be another drunken lady in the street. But because of you, somehow I feel spiritually like my life has a meaning, a purpose, and I'm really bringing in the new year in the right mood. So that there were many people who they appreciated the Rath Yatra. Let's see, New Year's Eve. One year I went to Auckland, New Zealand, and we did a Harinam. I heard here they do a Harinam. Tonight will be a Harinam. That's why I'm getting morning class. Here I ask whether there's like a specific place where they do the New Year's. But like New York, they go to Times Square, or Atlanta, they go go downtown on Peachtree Street. They had a big wall that falls at midnight, and everybody they rejoice. New Year. I mean, it's showing the truth. Every year is New Year, you know. In South India, on the Pongal day, they all put this rangoli in front of their house. And on today, the whole streets are covered with smoke because the people are burning some old stuff. Out with the old, bring the new. In America, the custom is to make your New Year's resolutions. What you're going to do the next year, what your goals are. That's a good thing. We can have Christian conscious of goals, what we want to do the next year. In Rahu, after hearing the teachings of Jaravard, it's like he was a new person. So many illusions had been cut from his life. Now he wanted to, like, a new direction. So, like that, today is the day we can cut our illusions. We can think what we're going to do next year. How we're going to be different. How we're going to be more Krishna conscious. How we're going to take more shelter of Guru and Krishna. So here it said, taking shelter of the servant. That's also interesting because usually we think, okay, well, I take shelter of Krishna or take shelter of some great acharya. But here it was saying that the servant of the servant. Even though we may not get the opportunity to take shelter of the great acharya, if he can take a shelter of one of his servants, that is also enough to transfer us to Krishna Loka. Bhagavad-gita, are you on internet? You on Skype? So which address? Oh yeah, the what address? No, you're entered in some name. Is it for you or? In case somebody wants to write a question, I want to know what name they should look for. What? It's either Ishwarpuri or Bhagavad-gita. It's a very simple question. So what's his address? Guru Maharaj, I was thinking about pastime. Okay, so look, if anyone's not watching on Live USA, LALive.us, if you want to write in a question, look on Skype for Guru Maharaj. Of course, he's writing his tennis, so don't get. Huh? Yeah. Anyway, we got some more time. That's okay. I don't want to distract you too much. Just okay. Hold it. I was thinking of one of the past time. Slipped my mind. There's also a verse in, I think it's the third or fourth canto that states that if you take, that's maybe the sixth chapter, the what's his name? Durvasa Muni. He was approaching Vishnu to save him from the Sudarshan Chakra. So there the Lord, he stated that I am under the control of my pure devotees because of their love for me. I submit myself to them. So, if you want to be forgiven, you have to go to the to Amrish Maharaj and beg his forgiveness. So there, he also says, the servant of the servant, not only the devotees, but his servants. So in ISKCON, we are all trying to be the servants of the Srila Prabhupada, at least the servant of his servants. And in this way, we can also achieve a pure devotional service. We can get back to the spiritual world. This is possible for us because of the mercy of the Lord. So there was once there's a new test that came to mind that after Lord Chaitanya left, for some time the son of Nityananda, Veer Chandradas, he was in charge of the Sampradaya. And so we went to one, there's a place in Burdwan. There's an associate there, see his name is Yanadas, but there's also is one, one disciple who was a disciple of a disciple of one of the associates of Lord Chaitanya. So his name was Gopal Chakravarti or something like that. I forget. But he, like his guru, wasn't so famous. Like his guru's guru was really famous. He was a direct associate of Lord Chaitanya. So in order to out of a desire for pratishtha or some name of fame, he would claim to be the disciple of the associate, and he like jumped over his guru. He wouldn't give the credit to his guru. So because of that, Virchandra Maharaj, Virchandra Prabhu, he said that this person is an offender. That he got the mercy from that associate through his disciple. But he doesn't recognize his own guru. He jumps over and claims to be the disciple of the Param Guru. That's like some people, they claim to be Prabhupada's direct disciple when they're not. They don't want to give credit to their guru. I think they call this a Riktik or something. But anyway. Whatever be the name, it's not a new thing. This was also existing 400 years ago. So dear Chandra Prabhu, he excommunicated this devotee. He said to Srinivasacharya, you take down my dictation. That I say, because this devotee is jumping over his guru, he doesn't give credit that how he got the mercy. Therefore, no one should see his face again. No one should associate with him. He's out of our association, so long as he takes this mentality. And so this was written down in the exact wording of his excommunication. Is there in some ancient historical books, and it was there on a carving. So we went to that village with our safari. So that was a heavy thing. I didn't know that. I mean, in the GDC, occasionally, two or three cases, I think we excommunicated someone. Prabhupada, he excommunicated Nitai Das, said no one should associate with him, because Nitai had gone out and taken some reinitiation from someone in Vrindavan. I said Vrindavan can be a bit dangerous, also Mayapur to some extent, but Vrindavan, there's so many Babaji's and Gosai's and pundits, and they are, oh, your Sampradaya is not good. We have the accurate Sampradaya like this, they offered. You come here, we'll give you reinitiation. So it's very dangerous place if you listen to these other pundits, what do you call them? It's very easy to say, oh, your Sampradaya isn't good, or our Sampradaya is good. They can make any claim they want. We have our Sampradaya. See, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he highlights the Sampradaya for his future followers, that he added it a bit, but it's called a Bhagavat Sampradaya. So we have faith in Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We follow his Sampradaya that he gave. I don't want to go too much into discussing that now, but if you want, I can discuss it later. So this excommunication was also done by Dev Krishna, by Dev Chandra Prabhu, who is the incarnation of the Kiradakshaya Vishnu. So, we went to see these different holy places. Also the holy place, the Samadhi of the Kala Krishna Das. Kala Krishna, he was the personal secretary of Lord Chaitanya. But when he was in South India, he got captured by some gypsies, and he was drugged, and somehow they, in a drug state, they sent some. They used sex to blind people, so they sent some of their women to him, and he fell down like that. So he was very embarrassed, you know, he didn't know what to do. Lord Chaitanya came and they pulled him by the sika and pulled him out from that place. Then they attacked Lord Chaitanya, but their weapons were sucked out of their hands and flew in the air and fell down on their heads. So when Lord Chaitanya got back to Jagannathpuri, he didn't say anything up to that time. Many years went by. Well, finally, when he got back, he said this, Kala Krishna Das, he had a fall down. So I really shouldn't have him as my personal secretary anymore. I don't want him to do the personal service. So he was devastated. Then Nityananda and some of the other devotees, they discussed what to do. If he stays here, he won't be able to serve Lord Chaitanya. He'll be very depressed. So let's send him back to Bengal. He can tell all the pastimes that Lord Chaitanya did for the 6 years he was traveling in South India. So Nityananda went to ask permission to send Kala Krishna Das to Bengal. He went to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya said, listen, Nityananda said, we're going to send someone to Bengal. He's going to say who. He said, okay, whatever you decide, it's final. I agree with you. I don't need to hear any details. You do it, the needful. So Kala Krishna was sent back to Bengal. Later, Nityananda was also engaged in as one of the gurus, because with Kala Krishna, and also the samadhi of his disciple. So although he had some fall down, he was accepted later by Lord Nityananda as a guru, and he was engaged. So we saw his temple also. So Kala Krishna Das and his disciple Salania there. I didn't look it up particularly, but I don't think that he would be a guru unless Nityananda had approved of him. So it was very interesting to see kind of these holy places, which showed a kind of in-depth display of the philosophy that you don't normally get. So today, in this verse, it says how hearing from the disciple of the guru of Krishna is also sufficient to deliver one. This should eradicate any doubts that somebody has. Even if you don't, of course, we all read now Srila Prabhupada's books, we have his tapes, we have his videos. So you do get his association, and we accept him as everybody's primary Siksha Guru. But even if he has, if you take any change from one of his disciples, or one of his disciples, whatever, it's still considered as sufficient to take him back to Godhead. And you shouldn't have that any doubt in that. This verse also confirms it. I don't know why in particular it said the disciple of the disciple, but it says that. And so you can take it as a final word of the Lord. So if there are any questions, Okay. How do we associate? This is from Korea. Oh, Villa Mahim. With great care. Because we also don't want to be taken away. So sometimes we're respectful to the other sampradaya, but we don't want to also be bewildered, so you don't listen to such people. You just say Hare Krishna, you be cordial to them, but you don't get into any intimate talks. Unless you're a very senior devotee and you can convince this, like I was sent by Prabhupada on some occasions to get back devotees who were reinitiated outside. But I was, I had to be very careful. In such cases, sometimes the guru wants to talk to you. So one time the guru said, you see, you don't really have to follow Prabhupada. You do whatever you feel is good. And I said, well, Prabhupada taught us that he'd written in Bhaktivinoda's literature that it's better to die than not carry out the order of your guru. Then that guru told me, get out, get out. He rejected me. Which I was very happy to reject. So I was sometimes either by the GDC or by the Prabhupada sent to rescue some devotee. But it's a bit touchy because they tried to sect you. You see, your guru didn't tell you everything. That's how they start out. And then they say, oh, really? I know what he didn't tell you. They don't say the guru doesn't know. They say he didn't tell you. But I'll tell you. And then if you listen to what he tells you, then you're sucked into it. Then he said, see, so. Then he may even say that, oh, your guru really didn't know. He may start getting offensive. So it's very dangerous. One has a very strong faith and is very careful. It's quite dangerous to associate with people who have left our sampradaya. Why should they leave? I was asked by Prabhupada to try to unite the Saraswat family. So I made the Saraswat Gaudiya Vaishnava Association. And I had the blessings from Prabhupada's God brothers, like Ramad Puri and Bhakti Vaibhav Puri and others. So we got, everybody agreed that we should not reinitiate any disciples for one another. That, Siksha Guru is okay, but not reinitiation. The only one who didn't agree to that was, who wasn't there, was N.M., without mentioning names. So, but he wasn't there, so. But, not for the comment, all respect. So I had to be very respectful to all the Vaishnavas, but everyone agreed that this type of, like, reinitiation, taking over, is not all a proper activity. Is very offensive to the that other branch of the sampradaya. So I don't know, how they got to another branch. Of course, if they had a fallen guru and then they went out, maybe it's not. Still, they should take it from the same sampradaya, but There may be some cases where they're not so offensive. So I can't say it's a particular, each person is different. Like some people, they came out, they got reinitiated, and then they came back, and they said, we want to leave with ISKCON. We didn't know what we were getting into. All of a sudden, we were going to sit down, and we were reinitiated. And we didn't know, or we were initiated first. So, I met also people like that. One person was under my shelter and took initiation from another group. And then came to see me in Rath Yatra in Amsterdam at the dump. And he fell down and said, I made the biggest mistake of my life. I took initiation outside. I was under your shelter. And please forgive me. And I just want to come back to ISKCON. And he was like, because these other people, they get cheap initiation, but they have no infrastructure. They don't care. Once they initiate you, they don't care about you anymore. So it's a very dangerous thing. I don't know exactly what. But there are some people like that, as I said, that are not so, they actually want to come back to ISKCON. So depending who they are, we deal with them. But generally, we're just cordial. Okay, there's Vaishnavas, okay. But we don't want to hear from them. If they want to hear from us, that's another thing. We don't want to hear from them about that situation. Any other question? We got it here in the back. What's your name? Karuna.
Thank you for your explanation about not to other sampradayas or not being so influenced. I have a friend who makes the argument that in Western culture, in Western culture we're very dogmatic because we have like the kind of Judeo-Christian background of being very chaste to Jesus Christ, and when our approach to religion tends to be very linear. And then in India, the culture is so completely different because it's very broad. There's a very broad spectrum of all different kinds of sects and dharmas, and there's different kinds of people living side by side everywhere, day to day, and they all respect one another and respect one another's religious beliefs and all that. This person uses this argument that we should be very tolerant of all the other kinds of Vaishnavas and intermix with them and be free like that. So I'm just wondering, if that argument kind of swayed me, you know, so I'm wondering what you would say about that.
Prabhupada said, after now, I had to keep it separate because in Vrindavan, there's the Babajis and Goswamis. They basically wanted to destroy ISKCON. And in Mayapur, there's the God Brothers. They are against ISKCON. He said, but in the future, I would like to, you know, to be more open to them, if they, you know, not destroy us. So he indicated that, you know, out of self-defense, he had to be a little protective, but he wanted to open. So we were doing this bhakti, Saraswat Gaudiya Vaishnava Association. And we were just at the point of registering it. And everyone, all the Gaudiya Lodge, ISKCON, except for NM, had agreed to the strictures. Then something came up. The Public Works Department came in. They wanted to, all of us had agreed, we wanted to get the houses of prostitution and the things out of Mayapur. But somehow the map which was made had taken out some of the Gaudiya Lodge walls ISKCON Hall. So they thought that we had conspired against them. We also lost. They made a new map, which we didn't know about. And so for like 2-3 years now, ISKCON has been meeting with them, but they recently approached some of the swamis from one of the temples that if I write a letter explaining the things, they'll take it around and they'll try to get us all to meet together again. So we're trying some initiative. They're actually now more afraid of ISKCON than we are of them. Because they think, you know, ISKCON's so big, and we have got 500, 600 branches all over the world, and they're a little apprehensive. So our idea is that we associate with a mutual respect, and we do some things jointly, like we do with the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur appearance day and Bhakti Vinoda appearance day. We do that jointly. So he started that in Mayapur. But these are temples, they don't initiate ISKCON devotees. Maybe one or two got initiated by Govinda Sundar, what's his name? Bhakti Sundar Govinda Maharaj. But he said that this was, I didn't know. He claimed he didn't know. So all these other temples, they said they don't initiate ISKCON devotees. If they did in the past, they claimed that they didn't know, and they don't do it in the future. So on that basis, that they respect Prabhupada, they respect ISKCON's initiations, why do we not associate? We do associate on some in some level, but the problem is that some people say this, but then those very people were previously in ISKCON, and now they've gone out and they took some reinitiation. So it's a bit touchy. I associate with the actual heads of the different mutts, and they very much respect even the fact that I'm sick and I'm still preaching. They respect, but some of these ISKCON people who have gone out, they claim that, well, you know, what you said, but our point is that there shouldn't be any reinitiation. We can respect all the other mutts and all the other Vaishnavas, why not? But if they reinitiate our people, that means they don't respect us. So it's not, there's several mutts who have banned a certain other ones from their association, because it's not only ISKCON devotees that those ones reinitiate, but they're like renegades. They reinitiate anybody, even Gonraj disciples. And so there is this problem that exists, that some of the persons, they claim that they're the Messiah or whatever, they're the anointed one, and everybody should take initiation from them, and they reinitiate anybody from ISKCON, Lon Maharaj, any other Gaudiya Mutts. So everybody can hold it. What's with you? You know, what's wrong with you? Why do you have this claim? So they're not only kept at a distance in ISKCON, but by many Gaudiya Mutts. And I know I don't want to mention any names here publicly, but you know probably who I'm talking about. So in principle, we don't mind associating with the Vaishnavas. And we like to do that. But not with the people that like if they're at war with us, taking our people, reinitiating them. We can't be open to them, because then they don't follow the basic etiquette. The basic etiquette is that, okay, they should respect our initiations. And there's how many, I mean, like in America, there's 250 million people. We're a few devotees. So there's so many millions of people they can make devotees. We should, you know, the whole world's theirs. Whole world's, you know, let us all work together and make the devotees. But stealing from one another, neither, I don't think ISKCON, they can't accuse it. We take their devotees and reinitiate them. The similar, they shouldn't do the same for ISKCON. If they want, there's millions of, hundreds of millions of billions of people out there that are not devotees. There's only a few handful, you know, 1 or 2 million of devotees. So that's the only problem. Otherwise, we're open. But here, you know, like in America, most of these groups are like ex-ISKCON devotees. So therefore, it's like difficult to associate. If, you know, like in Nayanthar, you can tell the difference. In Nayanthar, where we have the original nuts, we do associate. We do attend the joint programs. They come to ISKCON, and we go to them. We do. But here, because the people were stealing from ISKCON in some places, that's why we got a little bit as a sensitive issue. If they promise not to do it anymore and they apologize, or if those ISKCON people took the blessing from their guru, I really have faith in this guru, I want to go out. Okay, you know, there's a way to do it. Like one time, one disciple of some other guru came to Prabhupada and asked him for initiation. He said, "You're initiated by bona fide Vaishnava. If you get a letter from him, that I should initiate you, then I'll do it. Otherwise, I won't do it because I respect your guru. He's a Vaishnava." So, of course, that person never came back. I don't think it's so easy to get a letter. But, you know, that was the system like Prabhupada. He never initiated people from other mutts. So we have this problem. If we would associate, I'm sure here we'd be more open to associate if there was a mutual respect. But they want respect from us, but they want to give us the respect. That's the kind of sensitive issue. So I do give class and at the quarters where I stay in the evenings. Because here there's a lot of, and I do answer questions, so you can discuss more now. I don't want to stop the devotees who have to go out on Sankirtan and do the service now. Hare Krishna. I hope, I don't know if I overstepped my. If anyone wants a prasadam, we got some cookie prasad here.